Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Donna Herringer as my special expert guest. Donna Herringer has a long and rich association with the Canadian health food industry. Currently, she is the general manager of Quest Vitamins, a division of Jamieson Labs. Donna was the president and CEO of the Canadian Health Food Association from 1999 to 2003. In that capacity, she sat on numerous committees to help develop the new natural product regulation. At one time, Donna was the vice president of sales and merchandising for Sears Health Food Stores, a chain of 60 stores in Canada. Donna is very passionate about helping Canadians understand product quality and really enjoys helping her colleagues and friends to become the very best they can be. Good morning, Donna, and thanks very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to participate as my special guest on this edition of SNU.
Thank you, Corey, and I feel honored to be here.
Well, we usually go right into asking each one of our special guests how they got involved in the health industry and what it was about the industry that attracted them to it.
Well, I hope I don't go overtime on this one, Corey, because for me it started a long time ago. I had an early guru in my life who introduced me to Adele Davis, and that tells you how long ago that was, and improved my health through, not that I was sick, I wasn't, but I was actually quite young at the time, in my 20s, and she introduced me to better eating and supplementation, and it changed my life a lot. And then I was going through some difficult times in my late 20s, early 30s, and used that information to really get through a rather rough time. And when I moved west in 1982, I decided that I needed to change my what I did for a living, because I wanted to put my energy into what I really believed in. And so as a user of supplements and a believer of good food, I went on a search to find the right company and the right people to get involved with. And so that's really how I got involved. It was really just being a passionate user and somebody who, and I think it's probably the majority of you, of the people you talk to, probably have very similar stories. And so my first job was in the health food industry, was in 1983 as a sales representative for Quest Vitamins, which was, you know, a little bit different company than it is now, but that was where I began.
So you and I have known each other for a long time, and we've seen each other go through a variety of changes, an evolution, career advancements. What kind of advancements or changes have you gone through, and how have those changes occurred, and what events took place that led you to your current position today?
Well, thank you, Corey. Well, you're right. We have known one another a long time, and could get into how I, as a sales rep, in fact, it was as a sales rep when I first met you and watched you and observed you and admired you, and that was probably 25 years ago. I started, as I started my life as a sales rep, and which was a wonderful, wonderful place to start, because that's where I met a lot of great retailers, and that's where I could put a lot of my talents to use, because my background was sales and marketing. And so for a number of years, I was a sales rep for Quest Vitamins, and then I evolved to becoming a key account specialist, and then I became Western sales manager as I improved and honed more skills. And then eventually I became national sales manager for Quest Vitamins, and that was the time that Quest was bought by Boehringer Ingelheim. And while I learned a lot from Boehringer Ingelheim, we didn't always see eye to eye, because they had kind of that pharmaceutical narrow attitude about what makes a vitamin line successful. And so eventually I left in 1996 when I was offered a position as vice president of sales and merchandising for the chain of health food stores that you mentioned earlier. And that was another wonderful way of getting to know the industry and being involved directly in retailers, and that's where I really got to know a lot of other manufacturers. And at the same time, Corey, I was on the board of directors of the Canadian Health Food Association, and then eventually became their elected president in 1997. And then 2 years later in 1999, while I was at Sears Health Food and Fitness Shops, the board of directors asked me if I would take on the running of the organization. We were in the middle of a lot of controversy and a lot of struggle with changing regulation. And so and because I knew that quite well, because over the years, as you also mentioned, I've been on a number of committees and then felt very passionate that we needed new regulation in order to have a level playing field and to make sure that everybody, every Canadian, was deserving of the same kind of quality no matter what product they bought. So that led me into that. So in 1999, I became president and CEO of the Canadian Health Food Association and managed that organization until I resigned at the end of 2003. And just about the time I was giving my resignation, and I had to give a, I'm trying to really summarize this very quickly, but just about the time I had given my notice to the board of directors, Jamieson Labs, Canada's oldest vitamin company, bought Quest Vitamins and asked me if I would come back and be their general manager and in charge of sales and marketing for Quest. And so that's how that's all evolved.
Well, you have really put in a lot of time. I know countless hours of dedication. You're very charismatic. You know the inside and out of the industry like no one else does. And I really, really congratulate you on that. You're someone that we can admire from afar and also gain a lot of insight from. Now, you're on top of your game now. You've come full circle. What changes have you seen occur in the health food industry since you started, and comparing that, say, 25, 30 years ago to today?
Well, there have been a lot of changes, Corey, and some have, I mean, all of them have been good if you observe them in the right way. There have been lots of changes, and I think that the regulation has created probably the most amount of change. But that alone has weeded people out, I think, to have to really get involved in a regulated industry. And while the regulation is not perfect, it really has offered over since the regulation came into force in 2000, or actually became a regulation in 2003 and then started to put in force in 2004, there have been a lot more products available to the Canadian market, which was one of the real purposes of getting it out there. And then slowly but surely, all of the manufacturers and importers of the products have to adhere to a certain standard. So I think that that has changed a lot. And during the changes, there was a huge amount of fear, Corey, a huge amount of fear by retailers. It really brought on probably by manufacturers who were also fearful, and fear brings more fear, right? So there was a lot of fear that we're going to lose a lot of products, and we haven't lost a lot of products. We haven't gained as many as we would like, but we haven't really lost any products, to my mind anyways, not any worthwhile products. And so I think that has kind of been the biggest change. And so a lot, while that happened, I think a lot of smaller people decided to get out of the business because they were afraid of what the new regulation was going to bring. And I think that really probably wasn't necessary, but you can't stop what people want to do. And then I've also seen that the larger companies now have become, you know, more involved and wanting to get involved. But that also has presented its own set of changes that have happened. A lot of people have been in and out of this business, very large corporations like the people I worked for, Boehringer Ingelheim. They come into the business and they think they know it because they think that it's so much like the pharmaceutical business and it's so very different than the pharmaceutical business, mostly in terms of people's attitudes and the people that are involved. And so they think that they have the perfect schematic for running that business, and then they find out that they might not be successful or that they aren't as successful as they would like to be because they think overnight they're going to, you know, become very rich, and that doesn't happen in the world of natural health products. So both at the manufacturing end and the retail end, there have been a lot of changes. But at the end of the day, I think the most amount of change has been good change.
Now, you and I both know that regulations differ from country to country. And we've seen the threat of the loss of freedom in countries like South Africa, in Australia. There's always been a concern here in Canada. Then we look to the United States and we see them selling DHEA in gas stations, and there doesn't seem to be any limit. How would you describe the current state of freedom in Canada to someone that maybe lives in Europe who's used to having to need a prescription to buy vitamin E or C?
This is a really good question, and it's kind of one of my favorites. I think that Canada is envied by the majority of the world that are very familiar with regulation. I think we're in a very unique position. We are the only people in the world who have their own regulation under natural health as a natural health product. Right now we are a subset of drugs, but there is a process going on in actually changing that, but that's a rewrite of the Food and Drug Act so that the natural health product regulation stands on its own and not a subset of drugs. But in the meantime, being a subset of drugs saves us from things like Codex, because as long as you are a subset of drugs, Codex cannot affect those countries, that because that's, Codex is involved in food regulation. I've never been an admirer of the American regulation, because to me it's non-regulation. They regulate their supplements as food. And so, yes, there are products that are available. Anything is practically available. And they started their, what they had, their Duché regulation, which isn't really working out for them, because it isn't assuring the confidence of the consumers by good manufacturing practice. So I think that, you know, and I know that Australia has had very, very strict regulation. They are regulated as a drug, and they are looking at, and I've worked very closely with Australia. I've lectured in Australia many times about the Canadian regulation, and they are looking to Canada as a model. Now, while it's still not perfect, and most government things are not perfect, it takes a lot of work from people who really care about the industry that they're in to really, really get involved, I still think it is the best regulation that the world has to offer right now. And, you know, and I know that there are products like DHEA and acetyl L-carnitine that's not available yet in Canada, but it will be. As the regulation, and as long as we stay, and this certainly was a liberal government that put this regulation in, so as long as the Conservatives still support that, I think that given time, I think that you will see, and as long as there's supporting evidence, because in Canada that's what's required, you've got to have supporting evidence that your product is safe, that your product does what it says it's going to do, and that it's an effective modality for helping Canadians. And as long as you have that evidence, and that just can be history of use, it doesn't have to be double-blind studies, then that product can be. Now, L-carnitine and DHEA were in a certain category all on its own that requires more work than simply bringing in a new product that wasn't put into one of the bad categories before it gets into the good categories. So I believe that the regulation will work for us, Corey. It's only, and it takes time, and it's very, you know, it's a nuisance, because we all would like to be having these products available, all of the products available for Canada. But I do believe that having supporting evidence to make sure that products are what they say they are and that they have a certain standard of quality when they're manufactured is really important.
So one of the great things then about these new product regulations is that we can now make claims for the first time on products that we know have value and efficacy. From your point of view as a supplier, what is the step-by-step process that leads to you being able to legally make a claim about a certain vitamin or herb?
Very good question. Again, I have to go back to what I was just saying previously, is that we have to, A, apply for an NPN number to put the product on the market, and then we have to say what kind of claim that we want to make around that product. And in order to get that claim that we're requesting, we have to supply what's called standards of evidence, so to supply the evidence, the supporting evidence, to make that claim. So, and there are different categories that you can claim in supporting evidence, and probably one of the easiest is history of use. So if a herb product, for instance, has been in the market and been around and historically for a long, long time, you just have to claim that and show that, because that'll be in a pharmacopoeia or, you know, some other book of evidence. So it doesn't cost to make the application, except for the cost that's involved in collecting the evidence. But, you know, we're in a very, very important category of business, and I believe that if a supplier is not willing to put that out, then they're just wanting to make money real fast instead of really being proud of what they do and knowing that when they're bringing a product to market for Canadians that they have done the necessary work to make sure that it's of value.
Now, with so many product lines to choose from, you know, we've all been into the health food stores and seen rows and rows and different brands, and everybody wants you to buy their brand. What advice do you have for people when choosing supplements in terms of quality and reliability?
Well, you could simply choose Quest. No, I'm just joking. no. What you want, I mean, I think what every consumer looks for, and you know this, Corey, because you've been in the same business as I have, price is never an objection if you can show and prove and be confident of the quality of the product that you're buying and also that the product does what it says it's going to do. And, you know, while, you know, many, many people will tell you, well, you know, it's all about price, but it isn't all about price. It's about what this product will do and assuring that the product is of good quality. Now, good quality to me means that people have conducted the tests to make sure that the product is compliant and that it, that there are many, many things that go through. A typical multivitamin, one of our top-selling products, which is called Super Once a Day, goes through 122 tests, not every single batch, but they have a total of 122 tests that have to take place before that product is shown to be, before it is finally bottled and put it in the marketplace. Now, we don't have to do that on every single lot number because Super Once a Day is 28 years old, so that we have a long history of use and a long history of safety. But testing is, as you know, Corey, I think it's one of the first things that you and I did together was sitting on a quality assurance committee of how important is testing for validity and testing for non-contamination is important. So I think that customers really need to know their products. They have to have confidence in the retailers, that the retailers are buying products that they know to be really well. And a retailer really needs to visit the plants. They really need to know and see the tests that are taking place. They need to see assays. They need to see that either the manufacturer themselves has a lab or that they're assured that these products are going out for testing. And then finally, as the regulation becomes completely in place, you're not seeing this yet entirely in the marketplace, but every product eventually will have an NPN number on it, which means that it's been approved by the government, which means the government has gone to the manufacturing plant, that they know that they have a site license, that they're practicing good manufacturing practices, and all the things that are in place that assure quality. So I think there's a lot involved in choosing a supplement, but it's all about people. Like, you've got to have confidence in the people who are selling you the products, that they know that they have done the required research to make sure that the products that they're buying are of the finest quality. And, you know, if you see something that's really, 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 really cheap, it's a sign you need to do some research because the product's either not working and not effective, and so that's why it's really, really cheap, or that it's not being made to good manufacturing standards because there's a certain amount involved in manufacturing a product to good manufacturing standards.
Would you say that our industry has reached a point now where the evidence is so strong about using vitamins, not in terms of only prevention of disease, but in the treatment, that the evidence is irrefutable? Is there anyone that can say anywhere that our stuff doesn't work?
I think if you categorize it in general, Corey, you're right. I don't think anybody can say that, although you see these things come time and time again and reports that, you know, like the glucosamine study and the vitamin E study. I mean, there's bad research. You know, there is simply bad research out there. And does the media like to get capitalized on bad research? Yes, it does. But our products don't hurt anybody. They support people. And, you know, they're truly an option to support people's health, to keep in good health, to as an option to prevent disease, and they don't hurt anybody. So I don't think there's, you know, although you do see things from time to time, but it certainly doesn't stop me using my products.
Now, you mentioned Dell Davis, and I remember her, and I was speaking to someone recently in the health business, and they're younger and they don't know Bernard Jensen and Pavel Rola and Paul Bragg. But what do these people mean to you, these pioneers? Who were they, and what were they all about, and what did they do to make the industry what it is today?
Well, they were the pioneers, Corey, and I always believe that if you don't honor the people that come before you, then you don't recognize what you have picked up and what your responsibility is. So I think that they have taken a leadership position. They have championed a way of life. They have championed a way that is an option to how people were living in the 40s and 50s and 60s, and that's particularly after the war, where all of this fast food came about, and people—that's what people were living on. And you know, people that have come before us, because you know they're older than me, and I'm a person that's been around a long time in the industry, but they have led the way, and they mean a lot to me. And I believe that it's important for all of us to honor those who came before us.
Now, for our international subscribers, maybe you could tell them a little bit about the CHFA, the Canadian Health Food Association, and what that is and how that works from an industry point of view. Perhaps they're used to going into a health food store, maybe they visit a store, but they don't really understand the association and what the retailers do and how they meet and how they get educated. Just maybe in a nutshell.
Well, as a nutshell, Canadian Health Food Association is a Canadian nonprofit organization that has about 1,500 members that are manufacturers as well as retailers, as well as raw material people, as well as educators like yourself, Corey, consultants. It is a whole array of people that are interested in this walk of life. I learned from a president that came before me that I believed that the job of the Canadian Health Food Association was to help those members to do those things that they can't do themselves. And so we needed to take on larger programs. We helped the manufacturer by providing trade shows, so they had a very good place for doing business. And one of the prime areas that I concerned myself, as you know, Corey, when I was president of the Canadian Health Food Association, was in the education of retailers, because retailers are a much smaller business and they tend to need a lot of help. And so we were always into the education of health food retailers. We first took on your course that you wrote for us, Corey, and that gave the health food retailers a minimum level of understanding of how nutrients work in the body. And then you went on to do your sports nutrition course, and that is a sort of a higher degree of course where people are very, very interested in this category, but they need to know a lot. And retailers are notorious for not having sometimes the funds to take on very expensive education. So we offered them education at a minimum price to help them have a better level of understanding of the products that they were buying and selling. And also we would do marketing courses and business courses just to help them to become better retailers.
So as a former president, you have a real firsthand knowledge of what that industry is doing and the membership. And as a supplier, I would assume that Quest is a member of the CHFA, and I know that it is. Now, when it comes to education in general, what changes do you think are necessary, or if any, to raise the bar of education? Sometimes the industry has been criticized by other industries that make education mandatory for that reason, because ours doesn't have a mandatory standard. Do you believe in that concept, and or how do you see a method to help ignite in people in the industry the importance and necessity, based on looking at those who are extremely successful and are educated? How do we motivate people to get on that bandwagon of education?
I wish I had the complete answer to that question, Corey, because I always had a vision when I was president of the Canadian Health Food Association that by simply supplying the health food retailer with a level of education, and it's not just the health food retailer, it's the salespeople on the manufacturing side too, because it begins there, you know. And as in the pharmaceutical industry, which I hate being compared to, but they do have courses that their salespeople have to take in order to be a pharmaceutical salesperson. And I believe that if this industry is going to become as credible as I see it, as it should be, then I believe you're going to have a minimum level of education for people to practice what it is that we do in selling of these products. I also believe that we would, by doing that, and if we took that upon ourselves to do it, then we, the government would really, really see us as the credible outlet for these products. I also think it would also, because the health food retailers also have as competition, they have to deal with multi-level companies who are notorious for really talking about marketing. They market products more than they actually inform people about, you know, what kind of products they should be using. So I've always had this vision that the Canadian Health Food Association would be the educator for our industry. You know, in order for it to happen, I'm afraid it'll have to be mandatory, and, you know, if it is mandatory, it'll probably then have to come from the government. If that happens, it'll probably really, really weed out our industry. So I'm not certain, you know, exactly. I would much sooner motivate people and encourage people to become the best they could be by, you know, making the commitment to education. Some will and some won't, Corey, as long as it's not mandatory. I would not see the Canadian Health Food Association as being the mandatory. You could not be a member, perhaps. You know, you must have somebody have this certain level of education. But I think mandatory really has to come from the government, and then that smells a little bit communist, I think. So, you know, staying in the world of freedom that we want, I think it's really always ends up in the hands of the consumer, is to make sure that those people that they are dealing with have got a certain level of education. And I think that's, you know, where we really have to do the marketing is letting the consumer know that when they're buying these products, make sure that you know who you're buying them from and that they know what they're talking about.
Yes, I hear you on that one, Donna. I'm just thinking also of the personal training model. It is not mandatory to be certified, but almost without exception, if you approach a personal trainer, it's almost guaranteed that they will be asked if they are certified. Whereas a person walks into a health food store, they won't ask the person, are you certified? Mm-hmm. And the personal trainers, when they attend their big shows, they actually get credits and monetary incentives. So though it's not mandatory, they receive value and an accolade for the height of their achievement. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you've raised some very important concerns and issues, and it's not easy to come up with a finality on this one, but it will evolve, and I'm sure that we are going to reach the summit on that.
I, you know, Corey, I also think that success, anybody that wants to be successful will recognize that education is the key. And I think that if, you know, you and I know the most successful retailers of product across the country, those people, like I can think of health food stores who have had every single employee take the Natural Health Product Advisor course, you know, and they're successful people.
So
people want success. They know that education has to be a mandate.
Well, we have time for one more question. And before we get to that, I'd like to ask you if any of our subscribers or listeners would like to learn more about Quest Vitamins. Do you have a website or a phone number they can call?
Well, we have both. We have a website at www.questvitamins.com, and we'll soon have an additional website, which is www.trimfit.com. It's not quite up yet, but will be very shortly, which is just one of our brands. And we also have a direct phone number, 1-866-304-0611, if anybody would like to talk and learn more about Quest Vitamins.
Thank you very much. Donna, our time is gone, and thank you very much for a wonderful interview. I really enjoyed it, and your wealth of insight and information has been spectacular. As a final comment, in your own words, I'd like to ask you what your own definition of optimum health is.
Optimum health, in the dictionary, it's the condition that produced the best results. And I think everybody knows that optimum health requires the perfect combination of good food, water, exercise, supplementation to support the shortfalls of one's health, spiritual health and a whole lot of love. That, to me, is a key component to achieve optimum health.
Donna Herringer, General Manager of Quest Vitamins. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye now.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.